The findings of a Senate inquiry into Centrelink's controversial robo-debt recovery system will be revealed later today. It's been almost a year since the automated system, which cross-references information from the Australian Tax Office and Centrelink to identify potential welfare overpayments, was initially rolled out. In a moment, we'll be joined by Cassandra Goldie from ACOS to talk about the Senate report. But first, let's hear from one of the many Australians who made personal, anonymous submissions to this inquiry. David, who doesn't want to reveal his full identity for fear of retribution by Centrelink or by the government, is on a disability support pension. He's speaking here with Claire Nichols.
I initially received a very confusing letter in August last year, which I answered. They were asking for information about my pay slips. And then a few weeks later in September, I was told I owed two debts. Originally, though, the first letter said it was about $200. When I rang, they told me there were two other debts worth $3,900, nearly $4,000. And then they realised they'd made a mistake. There was only one extra debt of close to $4,000. And I've been fighting about it ever since.
When did these debts relate to, David?
The road period 2011 to 2013. I had been told by Centrelink I need to keep my records for 6 months. So those records had gone. And during this process, I had to move house. I was evicted because my landlord sold the house. So moving house and finding all records at the same time was extremely hard.
Do you believe that you did, in fact, owe these debts?
No. And I've asked for specific information and Centrelink have not been able to give me any.
So what's the status now, David? Do you still owe some money and how is that being paid?
I've had two informal reviews, not that I thought I was asking for an informal one, but they were turned informal. On the first review, the debt was reduced to about $1,400. I'm only speaking approximate figures here for you. The second review, they increased it to $1,500, and now I'm in the middle of preparing paperwork for a third, but this time formal review.
So how much money are you having to pay off at the moment?
The current status is $1,500 and I'm having to pay $15 out of my pension. That's the minimum they'll accept.
What effect has this process had on you, David?
I have mental health disabilities for one, and it's not uncommon for mental health disabilities for people to have obsessive thinking, and I'm one of those. So I've had numbers and accounting ratcheting through my brain and nothing but since this came up. My whole life consists of fighting debt and thinking about debt and trying to prove my innocence. I am also a heart attack survivor. My blood pressure has been brought up to dangerously high levels and I've had to have my blood pressure meds doubled to handle it.
How many hours do you think you've spent on the phone with Centrelink since you first got this debt notice?
I would have no idea, but it must be hundreds of hours just on the phone. It's probably thousands of hours of work behind the scenes as well.
That's David, a disability support pensioner caught up in the Centrelink robo-debt recovery system, speaking with Claire Nichols. He was one of 87 individuals who made anonymous submissions to the Senate inquiry. The report from that inquiry will be tabled later today. But ACOS is calling for the robo-debt system to be abandoned now. Cassandra Goldie is the CEO of ACOS. Cassandra, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
David's story is by no means an isolated one. We know that if we paid any attention to that Senate inquiry. There were plenty of instances of robo-debt recovery making mistakes of overpayment. Have these faults been addressed yet? Has the level of complaints settled down?
Well, Fran, look, it's really courageous of David to share his story and the many people that did appear before the Senate inquiry. And so we're obviously, again, extremely concerned about the impact this has been having on people, both emotionally and also financially. And the reality is that the fundamental flaws in the system have not been addressed by the government, despite repeated calls by us and many others across the community.
Has anything changed?
There have been a few changes made, Fran, which have had some effect. For example, The initial letters now are being sent by registered post, so they're, you know, making sure that people get the initial communication. But the fundamental issue here is that the calculation of the amount of money that the government says a person owes is still being automated. There's not human involvement associated with it. And you can hear in David's story that confusion around how much does the government even say that I actually owe. So, and the second part is that the government is still putting the onus of proof onto people like David to go out there and to find all their records to prove their innocence. David said that himself. He feels like he's been told, I'm guilty, and he's got to do all of the work to try and prove that he doesn't owe the amount that has been automatically assessed against him. And so it's deeply distressing to people, and it's fundamentally unfair. And we repeatedly say to the government, please sit down with us and other stakeholders, stop the system as it's currently working, and work through this so that we can ensure there's enough human involvement to make sure that people are treated well, are fairly, and that debts are accurately assessed.
A couple of things, apart from the overpayments that were lodged in the Senate inquiry, a couple of things that really stuck out were the amount of time that people, Australians, were waiting on hold on average across Centrelink's main business phones, because they were being told, of course, that if they have a problem, they just need to ring up and say, but they're waiting at least 27 minutes. Some people were waiting hours and hours and hours. The other problem was the outsourcing of debt recovery to private debt collectors, and that was really causing concern for some people. Has that changed?
Well, look, we still haven't quite established exactly what's going on with the debt collection side of things. And obviously for us, we said you just cannot outsource the debt recovery process to private contractors. I mean, what are the KPIs being set on these debt collectors? Of course, the most important thing here is to make sure that people are okay, and that the amount that's being pursued is indeed the amount that somebody owes. Now, you hear that David is having to, whilst he's disputing the debt, he's still repaying amount of money. $15 out of a pension is a lot of money, and many people, we believe, have just felt like they should give up. They can't get through to Centrelink anyway, and they're repaying money that they probably don't owe.
And that's, of course, a problem. If you're repaying money you don't know or you don't owe, or if you've been told you owe an awful lot more than you do owe. Nevertheless, most people would think, well, if you've been overpaid, you've got to pay it back, or if you've been defrauding, that's got to stop. In the report into the system, the acting ombudsman said he was satisfied that most debts raised by the department are largely accurate. Is it clear how many people have been incorrectly targeted?
Well, it isn't clear. I mean, this is part of the issue that's being raised through the Senate inquiry, the lack of transparency over exactly what has happened so far, and what is being done, the results of the various reviews that people are trying to lodge with Centrelink. Interacting with Centrelink is extremely stressful, Fran. You do get a phone number now, the one that you're meant to call, but we do hear, of course, that people cannot get through. And so the reality of living with this automated system is deeply distressing for people. And we just want to highlight this morning that we are talking overwhelmingly about people who do not have a lot of money. I mean, and the differential treatment we see when it comes to people who have a lot of wealth, a lot of power in society, the way the government is very careful about the way it goes about superannuation reform. We understand fairly recently now that when it comes to debt recovery for pensioners who have assets, the government is going to manually calculate those debts. Now, why are we getting
manual?
Is that
a change? It was considered for a moment that the pensioners might also be rolled onto the robo-debt recovery, though I noticed the department has said that they'll not be expanding the online compliance system to include older Australians.
And, of course, if that is correct, then we absolutely welcome that. But the same should be happening for everybody within who's been caught up in this system. If we're going to be raising debts against people and using the extraordinary powers of the Commonwealth to recover debts from people, including, you know, taking money automatically out of a very meagre pension or unemployment payment, then it needs to be carefully done with human involvement. These are very straightforward requests from an overwhelming groundswell of concern from the Australian public and professionals and experts in this area, and we cannot understand why the government in this area, with the Department of Human Service, working with people who are very vulnerable, will not sit down with us and work through this and stop what's going on in the meantime.
Okay, can I just ask you finally and briefly, because I was struck by this number of 87 people who gave anonymous submissions, just briefly, do you know anything about that? Is that an unusually high number?
It is a high proportion, and we understand it. We know that there were several examples earlier on where people did come out to tell their personal story, and what they found was the department or the minister was talking about their personal circumstances using data that was held by the department about them. Now, for us, we need to know that people are going to be safe and that there isn't going to be any sense of real or perceived retribution for people. And okay. So we totally understand why people have come forward anonymously, given the power differential between a massive department like Centrelink and the federal government and an individual who is trying to get by and survive.
Cassandra Goldie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Cassandra Goldie is the CEO of ACOS, the Australian Council of Social Service, and that Senate report into the Robodebt Recovery Scheme is due to be released today.